This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. You know, it's funny, BT. I'm at the stadium last night. I'm thinking, man, can't wait to rip the Yankees with BT tomorrow and talk some Yankees, get forward, look forward to the Mets getting set for Game 3 today at Citi Field. Play is going to be nuts. Can't wait to get over there. And then Robert Saleh gets fired. Oh, hell's breaking loose over here. And now it's going to be about Robert Saleh and the Jets. Well, really, not even about Robert Saleh anymore. It's about Ulbrich and the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and how this team can right the ship this season and be a playoff team, potentially a division-winning team. I just don't think, same way I thought with Devontae Adams and potentially what happens with that, we'll see how that plays out. I don't think Adams can change the Jets' fortunes, and I also don't think by firing Robert Saleh, while I don't think Saleh was a good head coach and didn't deserve to have his job going into the year, I don't think that's going to all of a sudden change the Jets' fortunes this year. I think the problem is Hackett and Rodgers and just the foundation of this Jets organization.
I don't think they're done here. I think they go after Adams even more. Probably are reckless in what they give up, but they're desperate. I wouldn't be surprised, unless they were to trade Reddick for Adams, some combination of that, get a third team involved. Maybe they even flinch with that, and they make that problem go away, and they get Reddick here. Like, it's ass-saving time. That's it. Like, Woody, this is a Woody Johnson move. This is not a Joe Douglas move. So,
but then how do you feel if you're Joe Douglas? So who's making these decisions? Is Woody saying, go get me Adams? I want a new head coach. Osala's out, and go get me Adams?
I think that Woody would. Listen, Woody delegates almost too much. Sometimes I wish he would get a little bit more involved. I do think that this supersedes everything. So he stepped in, and he made the final call and dropped the hammer on Saleh. I think that he's going to still let Joe go handle the Reddick stuff and the Devontae Adams trade.
Yeah,
I do.
And the Reddick stuff has been a mess. You know, the Adams trade, who knows? I get why there is some excitement from Jet fans. This is not it, though. This is not the answer. The reality is the answer is much deeper, and it's something that can't be fixed in week 5.
Let me ask you this,
going
Sal.
Into week 6.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there is a chance that the Jets rectify to an extent? I don't mean they become, you know, number one rushing team in the NFL, but to an extent over the next month or so, they gain a little traction, run the football a little bit more effectively. Yes,
I mean, they can't run it at all right now.
So probably a yes, right?
But based on what I've seen, the answer would be no. And the same offensive coordinator. I mean, I'll give you maybe meet in the middle. Maybe they're a little bit better.
Okay.
Just because how could it be any worse?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be radically better. Right. But I do think eventually they'll make some improvements, maybe get some other guys involved, whatever. So I think if that happens, and this all leads to me maybe being – a little more optimistic than you that this can actually get the Jets somewhere. If the run game can improve with more emphasis and more structure, then I think that that obviously keeps Rodgers fresher, and I think that Rodgers becomes a better player. I think you throw Adams in there, I think the Jets offense becomes better, and the defense has been good, and the division is bad. But I think the AFC East right now is as vulnerable. Now, Jets might not have the horses to usurp the Bills and actually take advantage. I think this division is as winnable as it's been maybe in 20-something years.
How and why do you think the run game is going to improve?
Because I think Ulbrich is going to make them run it more and not abandon it as early as they do.
I thought you were going to say that. Yeah. So then my counter to that is this. Do you think Ulbrich is going to have more say than Aaron Rodgers on the offense?
More than Rodgers? No, but because I think that he's going to kick Hackett in the ass, unlike Sala was willing to do.
But even that, kicking Hackett in the ass, as you say, is with, like, it's toward Rodgers. Like, we all admitted Rodgers was really the pseudo head coach of this team. And now the actual head coach is fired. I would think that if anything, that elevates Rodgers' voice, which was already elevated. So if they weren't running it with Rodgers and Hackett, then you think Ulbrich's going to be the difference in them running it more? I mean, I'm with you that theoretically he should say, hey, we're running the football more.
Yeah, I think you will.
But is Hackett and Rodgers all of a sudden going to be like, okay, yes, boss?
Well, it's funny because I get your point. Like, basically, you think the head coach, even though he wasn't very good, he's gone. And the guy that we really think is coach of the team should theoretically be further empowered because the one guy that was the symbolism of leadership above him is gone. Right. So, but I don't think it's going to work. I think Rodgers wants to win. Number one, I can't wait to see what Rodgers says later with McAfee. And the other thing, too, is I don't know if there wasn't some type of edict with Hackett where Woody went on this binge and he's like, listen, if you don't change the way you coach, you're gone next. Honestly,
we'd hope that
I don't
that
know.
Was the case.
And unless Hackett's a complete buffoon, which I don't think he is, I would think that he would adhere to any sort of direction, you know, levied by the owner.
What would have made me feel better, and we'll get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019, is if Hackett were out too. That would have, at least it could have been like, okay, they knew they had a major problem. Head coach, gone. Yeah. Hackett, out. Ulbrich takes over. Rodgers, take it or leave it. Like, don't care, buddy. If you're not happy with it, I don't care. Get out there and play. I don't care that you're upset that Hackett's fired. He wasn't getting the job done.
Yep.
Like, that would be a well-run, at least a sign of a well-run organization, or an organization that's headed in the right direction, as opposed to making Sala the scapegoat, but keeping Hackett in place and also taking orders from Rodgers.
I'm curious how you answer this question. We'll get to these calls in a second here. This is a very interesting one for you, I think. Would you feel better if Hackett was fired and Sala was not, versus what we have now?
Yes, I would.
You would.
Now, again, you know how I feel about Sala, but I think that would have been the first, like, the offense is a problem, and we're not placating Rodgers anymore. We're taking his handpicked guy that's run the offense into the ground with Nathaniel Hackett and getting him out. And then it'd be Sala, you're next. And then Rodgers, if you don't like it, you're along with
it. I respect the answer. Like I know where you're coming from. I have more faith than Ulbrich, but I got you.
Art is in Manhattan. What's up, Art?
Hey, Art.
Hey, guys. Good start to the day. Hopefully we finish with a Mets victory tonight. Two quick things. You know, I really think that Sala had more to do with game management and his failure to really do the right play calls. Like, you know, you look at the game last weekend, you're down 10-0, second quarter, you're not running the ball. It's third down and two on the 20-something. They don't get a first down. I think they're averaging like a yard a carry. And then fourth down and two, instead of getting 3 points, they go for it. And, of course, they get stopped. And then they go downfield, Minnesota, and it's 17-0. It would have been a one-score game at that point. If we got that field goal at that moment in time, what does that do at the end of the game? That's number one. Yep. And number two is, I think, BT, you hit it really well. We need Steve Cohen to buy this team from Woody Johnson. We need, like, a change from the top. It's this culture is never going to change. And you need someone who's really passionate about the team, has the resources to do what's necessary to change the organization. And, you know, in his business life, you know, he's been very
well. That's
about
a deeper issue. And I'm not even saying that you're wrong. I would love for that. Come on. Nobody will call him king more than me if he buys the Jets. Please. I think that's an offseason or a different day to have that conversation. But, you know, it's not just the Jets' inadequacies on offense. To me, like, the justification to get rid of Sala is that he is just atrocious with timeouts and game management. Sal, so, you know, my in-laws were in from Dallas, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Sunday morning was busy and, you know, 9:30 start. And, you know, my son's got a football game later. My daughter's got cheer. A lot of moving parts, right? But we had the entire three-hour window before we had to leave to watch the Jets. And, you know, my wife and mother-in-law are making pancakes. And, you know, Jen likes football, but she's kind of busy with the morning. She, at one point, I forget which timeout it was, she actually said, why did he wait 8 seconds before he called the timeout? She's making pancakes. And she could see it.
He's not a good head coach. So, no. Yeah, I mean, but he never was a good head coach. And I don't know why it took Woody so long to figure it out. It's not that I have a major problem with this move. It's that I don't think it's going to fix anything. Adam is in South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
What's up, guys? Best show on the world as always. Ding dong, the witch is dead. The witch is dead. All right, so I'm going to give you guys a coaching angle from this, okay? And Sal, something you said, you know, is true, but something you said isn't true. I'm going to tell you something about head coaches. Head coaches are pace setters. And if Ulbrich, this is his first opportunity, you know, recognizes the lack of discipline and everything else, is the play calling going to get better, you know, with Hackett still there? No, but they might not be committing the stupid penalty that puts him in bad situations. He has input to look at the offensive coordinator and say, hey, listen, man, they've been blitzing Rodgers like crazy, and we haven't thrown a screen pass all year. Can we put a couple of screen passes in? He can be motivational in a disciplinary way, going the complete opposite direction. Now, we don't know how Ulbrich is. It might work. It might not. What we do know is what was working wasn't working.
Yep.
And the thing about it, I don't think the reason they got rid of Hackett, it isn't because they want Hackett. I think it's because this organization has been so inept that they don't have anyone else that knows the offensive language to play call for them. And you can't just switch systems game five of the system.
I did say that.
So, of the season.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like stuck in mud. If no one else can play call, they almost have to keep them there. But that doesn't mean Ulbrich isn't going to have influence. That doesn't mean he's not going to look at Hackett on third down and say, hey, I want you to run a mesh route here. Even defensive coaches know what that stuff is.
I agree.
You think Ulbrich's going to have a voice over Adam? You think Ulbrich's going to have a voice over Aaron Rodgers on what plays to call?
I don't think Ulbrich has a choice. I think that he has to if he wants to be a head coach.
Right. And how do you think Rodgers is going to respond to that?
You know what? Rodgers wants to win. If he believes in Ulbrich and what the things Ulbrich is saying, he'll go with it. If Ulbrich looks at Rodgers and says, Aaron, you're getting killed. We need some screen passes on second down.
I agree.
I'm not a play action opposite side.
Right, but when Sala...
Rodgers is not going to say no.
But right, exactly. And thank you for the call, Adam. But when Sala says, you know what, Aaron had an unexcused absence and is in Egypt, that's the beginning of the end for Robert Sala. If Robert Sala questions anything about Rodgers saying, I don't know about the cadence because our offensive line isn't capable, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, our offensive line isn't capable of understanding the cadence, so maybe we've got to dial that down a little bit. Rodgers wants to win, right? But what did he say? Basically, that was the beginning of the end. Because Rodgers disagreed with Sala. Now, I'm not saying I agree with Robert Sala, but Sala said maybe we got to change the cadence to fix this to get better. Rodgers didn't say, you know what, coach? You're right. He said, coach, you're wrong. And now the coach is fired. So again, I'll ask, what makes you think that Jeff Ulbrich, of all people, is going to have say over Rodgers?
Well, I think sometimes when you start to get the perception of being a coach killer, I think you kind of change the tune a little bit. I don't think Rodgers is going to want to, you know, have this, even though he's got some blood on his hands for sure. But he's not going to want to compound it by distancing Ulbrich, I think. I mean, that's my gut. Remember, Sal, I was railing yesterday before we knew the Sala was out. And I'm like, think about this, guys. In back-to-back weeks with rain, almost constantly, the Jets threw 106 times. Now, here's where I think somebody like Ulbrich or somebody just with more influence, whatever, than Sala had, changes that. You just walk up. I'm not saying you light them up. I'm not saying you berate them. But you say, hey, we got to start run the ball, man.
Right,
we got our quarterback crushed.
Right.
And then you just walk back. And you know what? The coordinator's going to probably change his tune. And Ulbrich's got one chance, likely.
Though, do we know, though, that Sala didn't do that?
I don't know that, but I don't. But you know what? He didn't do it effectively.
Right. Well,
because
if
he tried and it was ignored, that's even more reason why he's gone. So if he did do it, they didn't listen, which is the bigger issue. I think that, now put yourself in the shoes of Jeff Ulbrich, right? And apply this to what we do.
I'm going hard, dude.
Exactly. Yeah. Are you went from overnight. So you're coming here and going to be docile and fit in. And no, you're going to be you. And you're going to just go as hard as you can.
This is his one opportunity.
You want to show management, you know, Spike, who you want to reward them with the decision, right?
Right.
And that's what you've done.
And if you don't like it, Spike, then get your ass out of here and go down to Philly.
Yeah, exactly. You and Joel and Bean and those punks and everybody else today at 5 o'clock on Met fans. We can put you on the back burner now. But think about this. If you're all break, you get one chance to show that, whether it's to the Jets or every other organization out there, hey, I can be the CEO. So I don't think that he's just going to be along for the ride. I'm not saying he flexes hard, but he ain't going to sit back passively and let this guy do whatever he wants. The Jets' offense is busted, and this guy's going to have some say about it.
I'd love to see it. Will is calling from Belmore. What's up, Will?
E.T., Sal, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Good, Will. How are you?
Hey, Will.
Doing good. Can't complain. BT, we missed you in London, bro. But I was in London for the...
Yeah. Out of my control, unfortunately. I do apologize, but hopefully you guys had a good time despite the awful game.
The trip was fun regardless.
Nice, man.
The outcome, it is what it is. But to get to the firing of Salah itself, man, what a whirlwind this whole season has been. Okay? And just seeing the fact that this guy, he was a player's coach, no doubt about it, but at that same point in time, you look and you see what happened with him. You're seeing it now with Quincy Williams saying that there's got to be some accountability going forward, right? Now, you know, Aaron Rodgers kind of doing a little during the home opener, pushing him away like, yo, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Woody Johnson, through the first couple of plays, you know, through the first couple of drives, getting his franchise is getting embarrassed, and he's the UK ambassador for the United States of America. That also kind of plays into that as well. So this is really, in a way, like, it's good. This is good for the Jets.
Well, there's nothing bad about it, Will. There's nothing bad about it.
No, and not only that, but I feel like this reminds me of this 2002 season, right? When Testaverde, you know, started off cold. I know different set of circumstances here, but Testaverde started off cold, and they put in Pennington, and they wound up going to the playoffs. And they were close in that division. They found ways to win games that year in 2002, as you know, Brandon.
Yeah, for sure.
But regardless, they are so freaking close right now in this division along with Buffalo. Anything's possible right now.
Yeah, take a swing.
Anything can happen.
I'm with you, Will.
Oh, boy. The disillusion is real here. Thank you for the call, Will.
You know what's amazing? When you're a player's coach like Robert Saleh was, when you're a player's coach and your team plays with no discipline, you're not a head coach. You're a substitute teacher at this point. And nobody respects you.
Right.
When you're a player's coach and, you know when to give the guys off and you treat the veterans well, but they play tight and they play buttoned up. Now, being a player's coach works. When your team shows up and commits 10, 12, 15 penalties a week and doesn't do anything for the first two quarters, you're not a head coach. You're just passing time. That's it. It was time to move on.
Yeah.
Done.
I can't wait to see how Ulbrich and the new Jets do on Monday night against the Bills. BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls when we come back on the other side about Robert Saleh and where the Jets go now from here with Saleh being fired. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. All right, it's been all Robert Saleh and the Jets as Saleh is fired today from the Jets. Jeff Ulbrich will take over as interim head coach. And right now on the line, we have former Jet, current SNY Jets analyst, Willie Colon. This call-in is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Willie, BT, and Sal here on the Fan. What were your initial thoughts when you heard Saleh got fired?
I was shocked. I didn't see this coming. I don't think anybody saw this coming. I don't think Robert Saleh saw this coming. From all reports that he showed up after the loss against the Vikings Monday, did his normal job, talked to the team, reviewed the tape, came in Tuesday and was ready to go to work and prepare for the Bills, and he got the knock on the door. So I think I'm shocked. Even Adam Gates made it through the season. I thought he was a dumpster fire. So to see Robert Saleh, who I think, you know, if you split him in half, the person, the human being, is a great man. I've had multiple conversations with him, great guy. From the coaching standpoint, listen, defensively, they're up to par. I mean, they're a top five, top ten defense. On the offensive side, they're not good, and they look stagnant. And this is with Aaron Rodgers, and this is with Garrett Wilson, and this is with two stud running backs and a revamped offensive line. So the question is, all right, what does firing Robert Saleh do to this offense? How does it spark? How does it get this in the right direction? And I don't think anybody has an answer to that right now. I think if anybody I thought was to be fired, it was Nathaniel Hackett. And so the fact that Hackett has a job and Saleh doesn't is a wild moment. I don't know what to take of it.
No, you do, though, because you're a smart guy. He has a job because he's Rodgers' boy. That's it.
Yeah, I get that. But I also think at the end of the day, you know, Woody Johnson just put out a presser and he's talked about expectations. Yeah. I didn't expect the Jets to be here. You know, I didn't expect them to be looking the way they looked offensively. And I get, you know, being best friends with a guy shouldn't hold your position, right? I think at the end of the day, Nathaniel Hackett, his inability to scheme wins was trouble, right? Especially when you have your guy in Aaron Rodgers, especially when you have everything you technically need. And what's even more troubling is when you look at Aaron Rodgers, man, this is the second week in a row he's limped off the field. He's 40-something years old. Against the Broncos, he threw the ball 42. Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers, my guy, you got to get in your wheelhouse and figure out how you can protect this guy. Because right now, I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers and I'm scratching. I don't know if he's going to make it through the season.
Yeah.
When he's talking about a knee, you're talking about a hamstring, and now you're talking about an ankle. And this is only, what, week five, week six? Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying we didn't even get to the bye week.
Willie, let me ask you, I want to throw this at you. You would know better than us, obviously. You played Willie Colon, of course, former Jet, Steeler. You see him on SNY all the time. Does a good job with Bart and those guys. I like the work that you guys put out. When you elevate somebody like Ulbrich, who, like Saleh, is a defensive background guy, he's obviously not coming up with offensive plays, but am I wrong when I say that he can at least walk down during a game or walk down to the other side of the building during the week and say, hey, man, we've thrown it 100 times in the rain 2 weeks in a row. Run the ball. And I feel like Saleh never did that. Ulbrich can do that, right?
I think there's, and this is just me just talking like you're talking, I think there's a power struggle, right? I think Saleh, for a large part, let Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers say, all right, this is what you guys do, then do it. I'm going to stay out the way. I'm going to get my guys. I've seen that happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, you know, that happened to me when I was with Marty Mornhinweg as OC and I had Rex Ryan as a head coach. Like, Rex is like, I got the defense. We're going to do our thing. Marty, you know, do your thing with the offense. And when things weren't working, it ultimately fell on Rex's head and we weren't good and things kind of went downhill. And I think right now, I think that when you talk about the Jets from an offensive standpoint, right now with Aaron Rodgers, they don't have an offensive identity, right? Bart said something I got to give Bart credit. He said something that really stuck. He goes, right now in the NFL, we watched a lot of football. Pretenders are starting to fall away, and the contenders are starting to rise. The Jets started the season, were supposed to be contenders, at least on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not rising. And you say, well, Willie, that's maybe a little too harsh. Greg Zuerlein makes the field goal. You know, if Aaron Rodgers hits Garrett Wilson down the sideline over the missed throw, this is a different season. But it's not. It's not even about that. It's the miscues with Garrett Wilson. It's the fact that one day we can get our guys the ball and we look great, and then the next week we don't have it. Invalid. They're loading the box and stopping the run game, and they're doing things to kind of suppress the Jets' offense. But one thing we brought Aaron Rodgers in this building was to kind of cover the deficiencies on offense. He was supposed to be the magic man, and he was able to do it against Tennessee in the second half. We saw what he was able to do against New England, and then it's not clicking. And when you see a frustrated Garrett Wilson, when you see, you know, the lack of production out of Breece Hall, when you see from a schematic standpoint, they're just not doing enough, and their vanilla schemes are just getting put to the dirt. It's like, all right, what changes need to be made? It has to fall on somebody's shoulders, and it's always going to fall on the head coach's shoulders.
Do you think, Willie, that that Saleh lost the locker room?
No, I don't think he lost the locker room at all. I think that's something the media likes to say to kind of, you know, add a little more fire to. I think the locker room still respects Saleh, listens to him. I think this all has to do with the lack of production. You know, the fact that they're 2-3 and they don't have an identity on offense. And you know, from health, your lead horse in Aaron Rodgers doesn't look good. So his ability to extend plays, throw off platforms, that's the Aaron Rodgers, that's the four-time MVP that Woody hired and brought into the building. We're not getting that guy. And so something has to be done, and he's doing it. He did it.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're focusing on this year, but I don't really think that Robert Saleh, and again, we echo with what you said, he's a fantastic human being, which is what matters most, but I don't know what he's really done since he became the head coach of the Jets to show that he's a good coach. I mean,
defensively, they're a lot better.
No, like, I understand that. No, that's true. But
defensively, yeah.
Understood. No, Willie, there's no doubt. The defense is always good. But, you know, they're not buttoned up.
No, they're not always good. I've been on the Jets team where we weren't always good. We gave up big plays where, you know, you talk about the core four team, Sauce Gardner, Quentin Williams, CJ Mosley, now DJ Reed. Like, he's those guys playing at a high level, and they've done things, and they've kept those Jets teams. Even this year, they've kept the Jets in a lot of games, and especially last year, they had to score to win games last year. That was a seven and ten team without Aaron Rodgers. So defensively, I thought he's raised his standard offensively, and then also the instability at quarterback. I mean, we had Joe Flacco running and Tim Boyle.
How's Joe Flacco look now? How did he look last year? I'm a Flacco guy.
Trust me, I love Flacco. Okay. I love Flacco. I'm not anti-Flacco by no means. And this is coming from a former Steeler. But at the end of the day, when you don't have the stability at quarterback, and now this is Aaron Rodgers' first technical year being in the realm. At the helm, it's all that comes into fruition, and so here we are.
I got you. Hey, by the way, is Breece Hall just not seeing holes? Is he hitting too hard? Are there no holes to hit? What the hell's going on?
I think it's 50-50. I think it's scheme, and I think sometimes when you look at him, he's not hitting the hole. He's guessing. And I think the lack of patience at times, it really gets him in trouble. And, Breece is the type of guy, if you get him to the edge, he can do damage. The problem is teams know that.
Yeah.
And so they're taking away the edges. And, from a schematic standpoint, like one thing, if you watch the game Sunday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cowboys, man, the Cowboys said, okay, we're not going sideline. We're coming down here. We're going to double teams across the board, and we're just going to make it a phone booth game. That's what the Jets failed to do at times. You know what I mean? Like, at times, you got to make the adjustment. They're not going to let us get to the edge. We got to put our big boys against their big boys, and let's go downhill.
Can we lose Willie there?
Lost him there.
And see if we can get him. Oh, there we are. You're back?
I'm back. I apologize. So when you see some of the runs that Hackett schemes up for Breece Hall, defenses are taking that away. This has to be the Jets have to make the phone booth game, meaning double teams across the board, we're going north. That's it. We're going downhill. So when you see the young fellow Allen get the yards, Breece can do it. They're just not calling it for him. They get too fancy and sometimes too stagnant. And also, think about it. The last couple of games, the Jets started really bad. Against the Broncos, Garrett was back on the line.
You guys, see if we could get Willie to reconnect there. It's a bad line there, Hoff. Just put him on hold real quick because I had a couple more that I wanted to ask him about. Willie shares the sentiment of that. If Nathaniel Hackett's here, then what's the issue? I'd like to ask him, though, what does he think this is going to solve, if anything, by firing Robert Saleh? Obviously, just a little bit of a bad line right there. Point is, BT, the Jets are a mess. I mean, think about this. 5 weeks into the year, we're talking about firing Saleh. Even if you didn't like Saleh, you would never think that this was the case. Willie, we were just talking about it. I know we get a little bit of a bad connection there, but I want to get your answer on this. What do you think this is going to accomplish, firing Robert Saleh?
I don't know. And that's just being totally honest. I really don't know. I know a lot of guys in the building respect Jeff Ulbrich. They think they look at him, they see a coach, see a head coach. But I don't know, because I don't think even bringing Devontae Adams changed things. I think this is a scheme. This is a system problem, and this is hypothetical, not hypothetical, but this is me talking. If they beat the Broncos, they beat the Vikings, we're not even having this conversation, right? We're talking about the Jets in a whole nother light, and currently they're one place out of first place. So a lot of things, it's easy to kind of have like, oh my God, the world is the clouds are falling, but
there's still a lot.
But there's still a lot of season left.
Willie, by the way, if the Yankees would have won last night, they'd be up 2-0 instead of facing Kansas City's ace tomorrow. They're tied at 1. If they would have won, they didn't win, and they didn't even look remotely impressive. Come on.
Correct. But the season isn't over.
I agree with that.
This isn't a conversation we're having in December. We're still beginning in October. This thing can turn around.
Yep.
And if you're the head coach in the position right now, you have to preach this to these guys. You have to preach that to your guys. Yes, Saleh is gone, but this season isn't over. We still got to go to work. We still got to battle. We still got to do the necessary things to do to win a game. I was in the building when they escorted Rex out the building with security. That was the most surreal thing in my professional career. I thought I would never see that in my time. And that was at the end of the season. And that still had an impact on me. It still has an impact on me because I was just like, when you look at a guy in that position, he is your leader. He's the guy that's going to start the ship and go down with the ship. And see Rex get squirted out was awkward. These guys are dealing with that same type of emotion right now with a lot of season ahead of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So for that guy who's going to be in front of them, I was a battle vet by then. So you're talking about a young locker room, a bunch of stars in that locker room who were watching their guy who they were birthed into an organization with just leave the locker room. You know, Quentin Williams only knows Robert Saleh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sauce Gardner only knows Robert Saleh. So you're talking about those guys now have to emotionally accept that they may have failed this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we got to understand. Like, you, even when you look at Elijah Vera Tucker, when you look at Breece Hall, when you look at Garrett Wilson, those are Saleh's guys.
Yep.
So those guys now on a Tuesday have to step in that building on Wednesday and realize that the guy they grew to love, respond to, and fight for is no longer there.
Yeah, well.
So for a new guy to step in that position, it's a lot for those guys because all they've heard for the last 2 years is that the Jets are a circus, da 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 da. And the one guy that who believed in the light and showed them the light that that's the old Jets. This is a new Jets. Because of you guys, we will turn this thing around. Was Robert Saleh. So we can't step over the fact that this is an emotional impact on this locker room. And now, so if Oprah is the guy, which obviously he is, he's going to have to somehow reignite that fire in those core guys to let them know, like, hey, man, we still got to charge the hill.
Yeah.
Saleh's gone, but I'm now your guy. That's a lot to happen in the month of October when the expectations were Super Bowl.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
I do, and I respect it, and I think we have probably a way of minimizing that on the radio, but put on the big boy pants, man. You're making millions. And by the way, if those guys that you mentioned, and I like them all, and they would have played better, maybe their coach wouldn't have gotten fired. But I got a question for you. That's Willie Colon, by the way, with us here, BT and Sal. So there's no doubt this is a Woody Johnson move. He flexed. He made it, not Joe Douglas. Pertaining to Davante Adams, pertaining to the Reddick situation, does Woody take control over everything, or does he still allow Joe Douglas to do his job moving forward here?
That's a great question. I think you just still have to let Joe D be Joe D, allow him to move efficiently. And I think you just got to, you know, Woody, I didn't know Woody had it in him to do this.
Yeah.
Obviously he proved us wrong. So I'm shocked, you know, and you can't get in the way. I think you got to allow Joe Douglas to continue to maneuver and do what he needs to do to make sure this roster and this team's up to par. But, you know, give Woody credit, man. He had the stones and he showed the world, man, like enough is enough. And, you know, I thought the London loss was tough to swallow. I didn't think it was the ultimate axe, but, you know, hey, here we are.
Would you trade for Davante Adams, Willie?
I just don't know how he makes us better right now. I mean, so let me backtrack on that. I do know how he makes us better. Obviously, you put Garrett Wilson in the slot. You have another guy on the outside. You got Mike Williams on the outside. You can get Garrett going. It frees up the offense, but it all starts with the run game. For me, you know, the run will always open up the path, and this is obviously talk coming out of an offensive lineman's mouth. Schematically, they got to be more. You know, one thing I thought LaFleur did a great job was before he was let go was the motions, the kind of being able to smoke out the defense, to kind of do things schematically to free up our guys. Now with our offense looking, you know, somewhat neutral and mundane, you know, I just need Hackett to figure out, man, how can we get our guys going? Because we have Conklin, we have, you know, Mike Williams and Garrett Wilson. We do have the running backs. We do have a revamped offensive line, and we look stagnant as hell. There's no creativity, and we find ourselves in trouble a lot early in games that we kind of have to fight out of because of Aaron Rodgers to kind of even get to neutral and then hopefully win the game. So we got to schematically, things have to change, and we got to get more guys the ball, and we got to be way more efficient on first and third down.
Your Yankees are in trouble too, Willie.
Stop.
Not hearing it. I'm not listening. Listening to none of it.
Thank you, Willie. We appreciate the time.
I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, man.
Willie Colon, you can catch him on SNY Jets pre- and post-game. Does a great job over there.
Didn't you?
Oh, I know he's bothered with that one last night.
You didn't get enough shots to start the show because Saleh got fired.
I only got 10 minutes, and that's it. I need to get on the Yankees a little bit more. I did a great job right there.
He's good.
I mean, Woody has a statement, which I know you're going to get to. We wanted to get to that. We'll take a quick break here, but I just don't see. I understand it. I just don't see how everybody thinks, well, not everybody, because Willie is in agreement with me, kind of, that this is not going to solve anything. Yeah, it's different, sure, but I don't see how anybody thinks that the Jets are going to be better off for this move here.
I do. I know they can't be worse, and ultimately we'll get the results starting Monday against the Bills. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019 is the number. Back to the Jets' reaction. What an absolute stunner.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. In case you're just joining us, where the hell you been? Robert Saleh fired. He is out. as Jets head coach. We reacted live in the 10 o'clock hour. We also started the show talking about the Yankees, but it's all about Robert Saleh and the Jets now moving forward. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app, BT. I know you have the statement there from Woody Johnson.
Yep.
We had Willie Colon just on just now, so we didn't get a chance to read this statement, but go ahead. Why don't you take a gander?
Yeah, and real quick, though, by the way, I was just told that the spot with Rodgers and McAfee will not happen today. Apparently, Mr. Rodgers has to clean that blood off of his hands. He'll join the show tomorrow instead of today.
We need the day to come up with a plan of attack.
Got to get on the same page here. All right. So, Tom Hoff just told me that in my ear. All right. So, Sal, here's the statement. You know, I'm not going to read all of it. I informed Saleh, but I thanked him, blah, blah, hard work, blah, blah, blah. All right, whatever. It's not an easy decision, whatever. All right. Jeff Ulbrich will serve. I mean, not to sound insensitive, but it is, you know, come on, it is what it is. Jeff Ulbrich will serve as our interim head coach for the remainder of the season. He is a tough coach who has the respect of the coaches and players on this team. Then there's a little bit more, but that is the money statement right there. And to me, that's telling you all you need to know.
He wants a guy who's going to get on the guys.
Yep. And it was just way too passive for too long.
Right, but I just don't understand why he couldn't come to that conclusion after last season.
Yeah.
What did he think was going to happen? Like, if you could say, well, the offense was bad. Like, Saleh, we trust Saleh, but the offense is going to be better because Rodgers is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Saleh's the same guy that he was last year. Rodgers is back, and the offense still stinks. Is that Saleh's fault? And the reason, in at least a statement, that would allude to why he went in a different direction was because he felt like Saleh wasn't hard enough on his players. But that didn't change. The same thing. So what changed from now... the end of last season till now? What
I think maybe the public pressure. I mean, it's unavoidable. Jets have been getting crushed, and rightfully so. I mean,
BT, it just reeks of cluelessness.
And desperation. Yeah. There's no doubt. How many times, really, in the last 30 years, have the Jets been thought to be a preseason legitimate contender? Whether or not it's misguided, it doesn't matter. The Vegas odds said that the Jets were on the short list to get to a Super Bowl.
Right.
I'll tell you the years. Not Rex's first year when they got there, because they backdoored that because the Colts sat down Peyton Manning. Remember that with Curtis Painter? And the Jets got lucky with 9 wins to get in. The next year they were, when they wound up going to the AFC Championship. 98, they were not. 90, even though they got there, almost got there. 99, they were. And that's when Vinny got hurt. So, and to me, 1999... And then, obviously, Rex's second year, 2010, 11, whatever the heck it was.
Yeah.
That's it. So, you know, they, even though they've been an inept joke for so long, they have not too often had to deal with such perceptual underachievement. Most times, we don't think much of the Jets going in. And maybe that is, even for Woody, who's proven to be very patient, maybe even he could not stomach this anymore.
It's rare to see a team, period, fire their head coach after 5 weeks into a season. And generally it happens when things are so dysfunctional that you have no choice. You think Raiders last year with Josh McDaniels, they just realized, hey, he's not our guy. He's lost the locker room. Or, in fact, lost the locker room. Willie didn't think that Saleh lost the locker room. You don't think that he lost the locker room, do you? Or not?
I think he might have. Again, I'm not there, so I want to be real responsible. Because I judge how you not so much how you perform, but the level of discipline and the attention to detail, if you respect somebody, I think there's many ways to show it.
Right.
And I don't think the Jets show it.
Right, but they've never had it. So generally, sometimes you'll see a team in the first year or two have it and then start to lose it. This has been, like, I watch Robert Saleh, okay, every game that he's coached here. I have not seen a difference. Now, that could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. In Saleh's case, he never got any better, but I also didn't see him get any worse. He is who he's been since day one. Which obviously isn't good enough, but I'm not like, wow, you know what? He's lost it and they've lost the team. He's never been a guy that's held players accountable. He's never been a guy that's had a disciplined football team, ever.
But you can say he's gotten worse because he lost with better players. Like, it's one thing, the record's atrocious, but
Rodgers,
I mean, really.
Rodgers threw three picks on Sunday.
I understand. I know. I mean,
like, is that on Saleh?
He didn't throw three picks against Denver. He didn't throw three picks against San Francisco.
Did Saleh throw that pick six? I mean, did he misread Van Ginkle there?
No,
I mean,
no, Rodgers has, and that's why we lit him up, and Rodgers is awful. That's why I don't care what Rodgers thinks, man. Like, if he's got a problem with Hackett getting fired, then tough. You can leave as well.
Right, but Hackett should have been fired. So my bigger issue is not that Saleh got fired.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you're not getting to the main problem.
Like Woody's being selectively accountable.
Correct.
No, I agree with that.
Like if you're gonna be accountable,
yep.
Be accountable.
Not perfect, but at least maybe 50% change gets it better.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back, have more of your calls when we reset. Hit you with the crown topic of the day. Robert Saleh is no longer the New York Jets head coach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.